the thing that I'm seeing a lot of traction with and a lot of conversions, a lot of conversation startings is case study content. It's case, whatever you call it, case study content, testimonial videos. There's varying different tags people put on them or titles they add to this content. But essentially, it's your customer telling your story for you, like why you're amazing, why your product or service is fantastic, and it's completely changed their world and the world of their customers.
Welcome to the Redefining Sales podcast, where we reimagine and redefine sales in a digital world. In this new series, we have absolutely scoured the world to bring you only the best of the very best. We will be working with each of the thought leaders to unpack all of their years of experience, their pearls of wisdom, and nuggets of gold into bite-sized chunks that will enable you to redefine your sales. Welcome to this episode of the Redefining Sales podcast. This week, we have the absolutely amazing Rebecca Saunders. I have known Becca for several years, and she is my absolute go-to and number one for all things video. And we're going to be talking about how does video help drive your sales and marketing strategies? How do we get started with video? How do you overcome some of the fears around video? If you had to have one video, what would it be? And what are the trends for video moving forward as we go towards 2022? So a little bit about Rebecca, if you haven't come across her before. Rebecca's described by her clients as a video ninja. She's sought after video strategist who builds brands with impactful video content and virtual live events. At the age of 22, Rebecca packed up a small bag and booked a one-way ticket to Sydney with her laptop and just $500 in her pocket as she boarded the plane. She had a dream of living in Australia and building her own company to sponsor herself to stay here. Fast forward a decade, and Rebecca has built a global production company, has a purpose-built film studio in Sydney where she produces live virtual events and educational content, and has a selection of online courses, including her signature program, The Video Accelerator, to help make our video journey just that little bit easier. And that Becca does in absolute spades. There is going to be full-on, highly practical tips of how your video journey can be made just that little bit easier and where to start. So grab your pad, your pen, and enjoy. Welcome to the Redefining Sales podcast, the amazing, the lovely Rebecca Saunders. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Abby. This is fun.
I am extra privileged this morning because Becca and I have just been talking about how slammed our diaries are. So now I'm feeling really, really privileged that you made time for us. So thank you.
There's always time for you. Always.
Oh, feeling so special. And Becca has just launched her podcast as well, which we were just talking about, which I will put details of in the show notes, and super, super excited. And I got to be a guest on Becca's podcast. So we're being podcast buddies.
We are indeed. So, you know, last time we were talking all about you and your expertise, and I think we're reversing it, aren't we, on this one?
Exactly. We are. So I am going to jump straight into it and take advantage of every second of your time that I have. So one thing that I have admired about your journey, because I've obviously known you for quite a few years now, don't even know how many years, but quite a few years, is
a while. Yeah,
I reckon 5 years, something.
It's got to be five. Yeah.
So one thing I've admired about your journey is you've worked with massive global corporates like the likes of Microsoft and some of those really big guys. You've worked with smaller businesses as well. I've done work with you. You know, you really are working the full spectrum of everything. And so I feel you are just best placed to actually talk to us, starting off with around how are you seeing video now used as a sales and marketing tool? And is that different across the different types of businesses that you're working with?
It's definitely changed a lot. I think a lot more organizations are realizing that they need to put money behind creating video and not necessarily just giving it to, you know, the marketing kid that can just make all of the shininess happen with everything. So in that sense, they're being able to create more because they're starting to see the value in it. And so whilst it is different between large and small organizations in the way that they approach the content that I'm about to talk about, it is still a constant in both, in any size organization. And the thing that I'm seeing a lot of traction with and a lot of conversions, a lot of conversation startings is case study content. It's case, whatever you call it, case study content, testimonial videos. There's varying different tags people put on them or titles they add to this content. But essentially, it's your customer telling your story for you, like why you're amazing, why your product or service is fantastic, and it's completely changed their world and the world of their customers. So in doing that, you know, we've been creating heaps of that content. We've mobilized crews across the UK, the US, New Zealand, and Australia for clients, collecting those case studies from a global perspective. And it has been a lot of fun doing that, listening to those stories, listening to how our clients are servicing their clients. I actually quite like that dynamic of the conversation. And then for smaller organizations, yes, they're doing the case studies at the professional level, but they're also seeing the value in jumping on a call, you know, similar to the video version of what we're doing now, having that conversation with a client when it's in their own home and a little bit more rough around the edges. Or they're asking their clients just to jump on and do a testimonial video when, you know, through whatever social platform they've chosen. So that's the constant. It's just how they approach it is different depending on the budget.
Mm. And do you think that's working so well because we need social proof and credibility building now because everyone's an expert, everyone's wonderful, and we kind of want that element of proof is in the pudding? Or do you think it's because right now storytelling is just, you know, we're storytelling beings, storytelling is so compelling, or is it a bit of both? Because we're a little bit the same in that when we have a checklist of anything going out, so say it's a PDF, say it's a webinar, say it's whatever, I want to know that there is some shape or form of story, testimonial, case study, whatever you want to call it, in there to prove it's not just us saying it. And so why do you think it's being so powerful?
I think it is a little bit of both. It is that social proof piece, and it also is that storytelling piece. You know, we have, I don't even know what the current stat is right now on the number of different things that our brain has to process, you know, from a media, from a social perspective, from graphics going through. And so you want it to be different. You want to be hooked on that story. You want it to see and feel just that little bit different and be authentic. And that can come through from a written perspective. It can come through from a video perspective. But I think the power you've got in video is it is a genuine person. Like you are actually seeing the person that's saying the testimonial, that's, you know, saying the amazing reviews, being the cheerleader of that organization. You're actually being able to put it to an individual. It's actually one of the reasons that all the testimonials that I have on my website, when they're not video, are actually testimonials on my LinkedIn profile, because I've asked someone to actually go there, put their face and their name to it, so that if everyone was going to check it, it is actually being written by that person. Because how many times have you sat, looked at something, read something and gone, yeah, is that person real though? I'm not 100% sure. So it does add that extra level of authenticity. And as people, we buy from people. So if someone else like us is loving this product or service, then it might be worth a shot for us to give it a go.
Yeah. And on that note, are you finding that most people, I know you're sort of in some regards one step removed, but having worked with you, I know how involved you are most customers willing to go on the record? Like if someone's listening to this going, yeah, but I don't know if I could ask my customers, or the story I used to tell myself was, oh yeah, but we're working with quite a few globals. They won't do that because they're a global and they won't be able to. Are you finding there's any barriers there?
Good question. There are a few barriers. So I think the key thing here is you ask the customers that you have that really good rapport with, you know, that you can pick up the phone and you check in on how their kids are or how that thing was that you've briefly talked about before. And it's not all talking shop. And once you've got that level of sort of relationship with your clients, of course you can ask that question. You know, in fact, I've done it myself with my clients and they've gone, yeah, of course, no drama. Like, when do you need me? I'll clear my diary. Oh, okay. Fantastic. Thank you so much. You know, and that it's just about having that conversation as a starting point. But as global organizations, you're right. They do need to go and get permission from HR, from legal, from whoever needs to sign off on the fact that their corporate identity is being used in a certain way, that it needs to be approved. But in doing that, you're starting the conversation. So you've got a checklist in terms of, you know, all those elements you need from a sales and marketing perspective. When I'm working with clients for case studies, if they haven't got one, I've got a checklist that says, hey, we're filming this video for this purpose. We may use it for social snippets. We may use it as a bit of a podcast episode. We may use it for all of these different versions, testimonials, case studies, written content, blurb on our website, all that kind of stuff. Are you all right with that? Would you mind just signing the bottom? And most people go, yeah, all right, that's fine. I don't mind that happening. And it's fun for me on the other side because I get given projects for my clients where they're like, hey, Mac, this is so-and-so. This is the organization that they work for. Can you just do a case study for me? Sure. So, you know, I'm then, because I know them and their organization, I'm then given free reins with their clients. And I think that is phenomenal level of trust factor, number one. But it means that as a supplier, I'm almost making myself invaluable because I know their product and service and can go and ask the questions for them. So it almost, you want to make it easy for both parties, both, you know, yourself and the client you're interviewing. Make it really easy. Have a system so that you can just repeat it.
Yeah.
And you just don't want it to make it a hassle for them. As soon as it becomes complicated, you're not going to make it work.
Yeah. I love that. And actually, interestingly, this sort of sounds like I'm sort of just saying this, but genuinely, we've introduced Becca to some of our clients. And one of that amazing things has been just make it easy. And I've said to my team, just follow Becca's process because she's been there, done that, got the t-shirt. She's the expert in this field. Let her do it. And it has been. It is. And what we're finding is a trend in sales across the board, even if we're not talking about sales, we're talking about anything else. Make my life easy is one of the number one themes that we are seeing come through right now.
100%. People are just stretched, and they're not just stretched for time. They're just stretched emotionally after the whole, you know, 2 years of craziness that we've had. They just need it. They know they need it. And so just make it easy for them. One of the things that we use for some of our clients, for their clients, to sweeten the deal, and this may or may not work depending on the organization, but saying to someone, you know what, we want to use it in this way, but if you want to throw in an extra question or two and chuck in another half day of editing time, we'll cover the cost of that and you get your own version of the video.
Oh, I like that. That is good.
So, you know, like if for a small business, for example, if they're taking half a day out of their time for a film crew to come on site, that video could be a testimonial for the organization that's organized it, but it could be a promo piece that turns in, you know, that organization could use themselves. So just thinking outside the box in how you can add value for them giving up their time, something that they may not have been able to afford or don't think they're ready for, can really sway it in your favor.
I love that. That's a really good extra little nugget there. So going back to sales and marketing tactics and using video as a tool to drive growth in our business, thinking beyond the case studies, what else are you seeing right now as sort of the common themes and trends and how we can be using video as a tool for sales and marketing growth?
One of the trends I'm seeing, and it takes work, so I'm not saying this lightly, is personalized content. Personalized videos. It's jumping. It sounds strange, and it took me a very long time to do it myself because it is, it's that icky feeling of, do I need to do this? But just sending a quick video message to a client or to a prospect or to an inquiry that's coming in that says, you know, hey, Abby, thank you so much for dropping that inquiry on my website. I would absolutely love to talk to you about your project. Click the button below to book a call with me. You know, all of a sudden, Abby's feeling pretty special that she's got a personalized video message from whoever the person is that she's contacted. And it's been 30 seconds of time, if that, to make that happen. And so they've been amazing. I myself have just received in the last week, I think it was Monday evening, maybe Sunday night, a text message from a large retail store saying, hi, Rebecca, it's Sam here from such and such store. Just wanted to let you know we're open tomorrow. We wanted to show you around some pieces that we know that you might like based on your previous purchases. Mind blown, like absolutely insane. Of course, I'm going to go back to that store now and I'm going to hunt out whoever Sam is because I can't quite remember Sam, but she knows me and my products. So just that level of detail, it does take time, but boy, it's got massive returns. Massive.
That's awesome. So we've done it in two ways recently on that. One has been on LinkedIn. So once you're connected, you can send a personal video. Yep. So we've done it on LinkedIn and that's been really cool. We've also done it recently for gifts. So we've recorded a video to go, there's an online retailer where you can send your bottle of champers or whatever it is, and you can upload your own video to go, you know, thank you so much for coming on board with Sales Redefined. Really excited to work with you. And you can basically just chat away on your own little personalized video. Yeah. My question to you though is, where do you think personalization is that enormous, like, wow, I feel special versus, ooh, that's a bit invasive. Like, oh, you're stalking my purchases. Mm. Or like, you know what I mean? Some people I feel can get that video and it's almost too much or too confronting.
Yeah. Not everyone's going to like the stuff that you do. I'm going to put that to Marmite. You know, you either love it or you hate it. You're either going to be really into that stuff and go, that's really cool, I'm actually going to share that with my friends. Or you're going to go, oh, that's annoying, and you're just going to ignore it. Or could be one of the like grouches that hates on it. But, you know, we won't entertain those ones. You've got to try it. You've got to try something different. And, you know, the whole purpose of creating content, of following your sales and marketing strategies, is that you get noticed and people know who you are and they know how you're going to solve their problem and they know they can come talk to you and you'll help them out. So I think you're always going to get someone that doesn't like it, but should that stop you trying?
No, yeah.
I don't think so.
And I think you've got to do it now to stand out. And that's probably been one of the biggest challenges for me, is getting comfortable with that thing that, ooh, not everyone's going to like it. And you do sometimes get the remarks that you don't want to see.
Yeah. And I think if anything, COVID has helped people go, oh, I can actually be on video a bit more. Or, you know, with Zoom calls, we're always on camera. Or, you know, I might just hit that live button because what's going to go wrong? All of that stuff, the confidence piece is a huge thing. I mean, for me, I know that coming out without hair on in a professional capacity for me was only really possible, I'm thinking it would have been a long time coming, but because I've got the comfort of COVID to go, huh, I'm just going to do this on camera and see if it has any repercussions on me. Doesn't. Okay. Might do it in person. You know, that kind of thing. You're able to do that and you're able to jump on. I mean, I don't endorse this because I always say, please dress up for camera and make yourself look and feel amazing before you jump on it. But you can jump on without your makeup on. You know, you can jump on and have that conversation if that fits your brand. I think what it's done is being able to say, it doesn't have to be perfect around you for you to jump on and record that video. Years ago, I was using a program that a friend of mine built called Bonduro, and I was explaining it to my clients, and essentially is that app that enables you to send a video message as an email, right? That's pretty much what it does. And so I explained it to them and people picked it up and ran with it. And I remember one lady saying to me, I did it. I stuffed up the end ever so slightly. And then I spent the next hour trying to re-record it and I couldn't get it right. And that for me is a prime example of, you're never going to get it perfect. You're always going to stumble on something. There'll be something that you look back at and go, oh, really? Did that come out my mouth? Is that the way my eyebrows move when I'm on camera? Like, whatever it is, you know, you're going to go, you're going to find something. Just send it. You're not perfect. You're human. As long as you can just get over that bit, which is getting over yourself, I think video can be extremely powerful in every element.
So I just had a beat there in the background. Carl, that is not video best practice.
Notifications went off.
About that is, I've actually never had that happen recording a podcast ever. And I have it happen when I'm on with you. It's like, damn.
And we're talking about being human. So I reckon we just leave that in. And, you know.
So on that note, actually, I saw a study that YouTube did where they looked at, and I'm just doing a really short version of this, the perfect video versus the intern in the cupboard with makeup, and it was for L'Oreal, going like, oh, check out this. And that video performed better because we want the grippingly human. We don't want the perfect where we go, that's just not real life.
Yeah.
So exactly. I want to tap into, you talked there about a couple of things and I kind of need to go back to them because it'd be criminal not to. Mm-hmm. One was around overcoming fears. I think, but I'm not the expert, so we're asking you, that is one of the biggest barriers for video, is that, oh God, I hate the sound of my voice, or when I get on video, I suddenly, it's like Chandler on Friends, as soon as they try and take a photo and he's like, So how, I want to talk about overcoming fears, and then you referenced your personal story there actually, which I think is interesting, and if anyone's listening, not watching, we sort of probably need to give the context of that. So I want to talk about, how do you overcome fears on video if that is the barrier that's holding you back? And then I'm double whammying and tapping into your story as well, because I think it's a beautiful, beautiful demonstration of overcoming fears.
Yeah, okay, well, you know,
I'm asking you questions because I know that you can do it, Becca.
You know what? And everyone is going to hate me when I say this, because they do it in all the presentations that I do. Overcoming this kind of stuff is practice. It is practice, practice, practice. And so, you know, I say to people, you're looking and following people of whatever industry creating amazing content that you're following. And they're probably a decade ahead of you in the journey. They are 10 years ahead of being on camera, being comfortable on camera, jumping in and just making that happen on stage. Whatever it is that you're aspiring to follow, it's not just in video, it's whatever that fear block is, you're almost comparing yourself to someone that's 10 years ahead of you, which is going to stop you even more from doing the thing. Because you go, oh, but mine doesn't look like that. Oh, but No, it doesn't look as good as that. And so if you've got someone that you're aspiring to be, I just urge you to go back and look at some of their earlier content. Just scroll all the way to the back of that YouTube channel and have a look where they started. The majority of people will have left it there, because actually it's part of the journey and it's part of the learning curve. So being nice to yourself, I think, is number one. My top tip when I was just doing it myself, a long time ago, I never watched it back, ever. Never watched any of my content back. No one likes the sound of their own voice. No one likes how they look on camera. There's always going to be something wrong. So if that's your trigger point, just record it and give it to somebody else. Comes back to that human thing. Just take yourself out of that equation. And then, you know, the other thing I talk about is just being Sean. Just find, when I say about Sean the sheep, you know, yes, he's a sheep, but he's not really a sheep. He does his own thing. Go out and be a Sean. Don't try and be the person that you're aspiring to be, because you're not them. Don't try and present like somebody else. Don't try and set it up in a certain way or talk in a certain way that's not natural to you, because again, that's going to be a stumbling block. And there's hacks and there's tricks of how to get over that. And it's stuff that I do in training with clients, but the nuts and bolts of it are practice, 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 and just be yourself. Don't compare yourself to others. That's the biggest thing. And it's the hardest thing too. It is the hardest thing.
Yeah. And it's just that starting, isn't it? Because as soon as you've started and you get going, it does get easier. It is, you know, going to the gym for the first time feels like crap. It's never going to feel good. But the more you go, the more you build your confidence, the more you build that muscle.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then I've got to ask about your story, because you raised it there. So to give context, because I think whilst we're not necessarily talking about video per se, I actually think your story is so powerful. I've personally been very, very inspired watching it recently as someone who's known you. That's actually given me goosebumps. For anyone on video, check out the goosebumps. And I think that actually it's relevant in context to what we're saying as well, because it's a massive story of how do you overcome fears and remove those barriers. So can I ask you to share?
Yeah. So those of you who can see the video, obviously haven't got hair on. So I've had alopecia since I was 7. And that essentially means that I've got no hair anywhere. Ladies, coming out of COVID lockdown, I don't have the hairdresser issues. So feeling a little bit perky about that right now. But no, it was one of those things that I was always covering up. So I didn't want to be different. I dabbled with it a little bit in terms of being happy and comfortable wearing different colored wigs. That wasn't an issue for me. But doing, you know, just me like this, I think it only just occurred in the last sort of 5 years in my personal life. I would always get up, makeup on, hair on, even if I wasn't going anywhere, just in case someone came to the door or just in case I had to do something. And so, you know, 25 years of doing this, getting more comfortable in the last few of doing it personally, I just felt that it's at the right time now for me to go, you know what? I'm going to do it. And it also was a thing where I was telling people to be authentic, to be themselves, to find their own vibe, to find their own style. And yet I felt every day that I was putting a mask on. And so took the leap and kind of took it off. And once I was okay with doing that, then it was kind of fun. Like then it was, okay, I don't do things by halves. Anyone that knows me or follows me, like once I've committed to doing something, we're going all in. Photo shoot was done. You know, the website images all changed. All my profile photos on all of my social media changed. And I do remember posting on LinkedIn and posting sort of a paraphrasing of the story version of, you know, the pandemic hasn't just been a success professionally for me. It's been one personally. Here's a background of my journey. This is why I'm doing it. 45,000 people saw that post. Blew my head off. Like absolutely blew my mind. There were people writing in foreign languages that I had to translate because they were writing sort of words of thank you so much for stepping up and doing that. Thank you very much for showing me that it's possible. I never knew that that would be the response that I would get. There's been no haters on it. So if you're thinking about hating on it, please don't, because I won't read the comments if you do. But, oh, crazy, crazy. All the things that we think that we're hiding in stepping up and being that person to step forward, which as business owners, as business leaders, we are at the foreground of that. We are trailblazing that path. You've got to do it outside of your comfort zone to get to the next level. And blimey, the rewards are insane. Insane in that journey. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, because I personally have been, because I've known you for so long, and so I've sort of watched parts of that, you know, partially from a distance, but it's just been really, really inspiring to watch. And it does motivate you and go, good effort, you know, because you all go, wow, like it's amazing when someone's pushing the boundaries beyond their comfort zone. And I love that you just tapped on that at the end there, because I love that expression, growth and comfort does not coexist. It's my favorite expression. And it's bloody uncomfortable when, you know, I haven't had your journey by a fraction, but it's amazing to watch you push past your comfort zone and then how that's inspiring other people to push past their comfort zone.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, thank you. So, okay, well, now we've all got to do it. And now we've all got to push past any barriers.
No excuses now, guys. No excuses. I can even see it on my wall. Be a flamingo in a flock of pigeons. That's just everywhere for me. So no excuses. Step up. Step up. Be proud. Yeah.
I just removed every excuse that you thought you had. I love it.
Yeah.
So on that note, right, we're all inspired to take action. We're ready to go. What are the couple must-dos? Because I sometimes feel overwhelmed by video of like, oh, I must get good lighting. I must get good sound. I must look professional and have this. I must not have a load of crap in my background. I must blah, 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 blah. And the list of musts goes on. Yep. And then it sort of becomes so overwhelming that you don't bloody do it. So if you had to boil it down to the essential musts to focus on, what is it for you?
For me, number one is audio. Absolutely, hands down, people will forgive bad lighting, but they will not forgive crappy audio at all. So number one is audio. And that could simply be using your headphones, using AirPods. You don't need to go as big as the, you know, the crazy microphone setup that I've got going on here. I do this mainly for effect, but it does make a difference. But you don't need to...
microphone interview now. Hang on. There you go.
Yeah. This is more for me, you know, for fun in the video, right? It's huge from a podcasting perspective and great for directional microphones, but this setup isn't your standard setup. You could use your AirPods or a standard set of headphones. As long as that audio is crisp and clear, you're grand. You're grand. That's number one. The next, I would say, from a professional capacity, is just making sure it's nice and tidy. You know, just make sure you're nice and tidy. Make sure the space around you is nice and tidy, because at the end of the day, yes, all this stuff is fine. And yes, DIY version is totally acceptable. But you have built a brand with a certain level of sophistication or a certain level of placement in the industry that you're in. You want that video content that you're creating to be at that level, like not to bring it down, but to be at that level. So think about that. Like, don't overthink about it, but think about that from a, is it acceptable for me to be doing this in my bedroom with the bed behind me? No, it's not really in a corporate setting. Turn your computer around. It could be a completely different setup. So think outside the box in what that looks like. And they're the two biggest things. You could go invested in lighting. If I've actually got a download that we can put in the show notes in terms of the five must-haves for a DIY home studio. And I did that deliberately on every budget. So it goes from, you know, under $100 to the full-blown kit that we use in the studio space that we have. So in that, one of the things we talk about is just have a desk lamp. You don't need any fancy lighting. You could just position yourself with a window in front of you or with a normal desk lamp, and it could still have the same effect. So I also don't want budget to be a barrier to this as well, because it doesn't have to be.
Yep. I love that. And we'll make sure we put that in the show notes so that everyone can get those five must-haves. So then if we flip that question the other way, really the don't do's are have a crappy background, you know, your pajamas in the background, and just basically not be something that you're proud to represent as your brand. Is that sort of what we're saying?
100%.
Don't do's? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a line between being personal and being authentic in your own home, and there's being professional against your brand. So the don't do's are obviously what you've just said. I'm not a fan of green screen or fake backgrounds. I think they look rubbish, because doing green screens well requires a lot of lighting to make it look good. So shy away from that as much as possible. And that's your biggest thing. I mean, where possible, you know, children and dogs outside so they're not disrupting you in that space.
I'm laughing so much because literally as we were about to start recording, my other half was on daycare drop off this morning and was, of course, running late. And as we were about to start recording, I'm like, I'm about to start recording a podcast. I cannot have him screaming in the background. Go, go.
Yeah, like it's all... It comes back to we're human, right? Like, as long as you know the do's and don'ts of what it is, as long as that list isn't huge, you're going to make it happen. You know, I've had people recording content in wardrobes, in cars, in or everything that, you know, they can, because that's a quiet spot for them, and we can make it work. So yeah. It's just,
and that's what I love about it now. You know, you can, whilst I know you do everything, you know, from the very, very, very high end productions, you do hybrid events, you do all of those, but you also are not discouraging people from just cracking out your iPhone or whatever device you have. Also just getting started, which I love as well. And do the five tips that you talk about, the five must haves, also talk about how we can get started on our iPhone if we're just starting, you know, starting at the ground level?
Look, there is that tool there. It sort of is your five must-haves of what you can use. In terms of your setups, I have a number of downloads and online programs that you can go through to learn that. Caveating all of this with, it is practice still. It's not just going to be, you know, one hit wonder. You've got to practice using these things. But yes, all that's there, right from using your iPhone or your mobile phone, all the way through to you. Oh, so you've got a DSLR camera in that cupboard, have you? Like, let's show you how to use that one as well. So the tools and resources are there. It's all linked in the back of that PDF. So
nice. And I want to finish with, because I can't let you go without talking about 2022, right? We've obviously had a shocker for a couple of years. And for video, that, you know, must have been huge, because I even know from my conversations with you, it's like, we're on, we're off, we're going virtual, we're going face-to-face. It's just like, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. What do you think are going to be some of the big themes and trends for 2022? And particularly at the time where this podcast is going live, I'm going to hazard a guess a lot of people are starting to get ahead in the game for that planning mode. So talk to us about 2022, planning. What do we need to have?
Okay. So planning wise, you definitely need to be up there with your case studies and planning those in with your clients. Like, definitely look at doing that. I think I want to spin this one based on, is virtual still going to be a thing in 2022? And the answer is definitely going to be yes, from a global reach perspective, as things start to unfold. I would like to maybe, you know, air caution to a sense of a hybrid event. There's a lot of buzz around, you know, we could do some virtual, some in real life, we could mix the two together. Technically, that's extremely difficult to pull off, both from a presenter perspective, but also from a technical perspective. So if you've got that in your mix, just be mindful of that, because the cost of running a virtual event, you know, whilst it is less than an in-person event overall, it still has those costs. And if you're going to add the virtual element to an in-person event, you've still got both costs. They don't, one doesn't automatically negate the other. So just think of that when you're doing a hybrid setting. And, you know, I think really for me, it is just being that consistency piece. It's, thinking about video as a mix to everything else, and like all your sales and marketing messages, all that content mix. How best can you take this video, repurpose it, make sure that it's got as much runway as possible, and then be thinking about the next one so that you're ready to go with the next one as well. So it's not one video will solve my problem. It's let's think about how we did this as a series. And if we start thinking about it now, the chances are they're all going to look and sound very similar. And that's what you want. You want that brand consistency across the content.
Love it. Oh, so much there. So if someone wants to get started today and they're going to start with one video, what's your one video you're going with?
I'm going with large corporate, I'd go customer testimonial. Small business, I'd go an about you video. Who are you? What do you do? Why do you do it?
Love it. Becca, you have been incredible. Thank you so much for sharing so generously. Resources that we're going to put in the show notes is around the 5 must-haves download. We can also put a link back to the Nailing Virtual event, I'm hoping.
We can. Yep, that's on demand. Yeah.
So if you want to understand around Nailing Virtual, Becca did an awesome event, and so we'll put the on-demand link for that. Other than that, where are we best to stalk you, find you, hang out with you? What's your journey? Where are you hanging
out? You can find me on every social channel at the Rebecca Saunders. It's the same handle for every channel. And RebeccaSaunders.com.
Love it. Thank you so much, Becca. And thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, before you leave us, if you would like to download our latest white paper on the state of sales and marketing, which unpacks 4 steps to drive hyper growth in your business, please visit whitepaper.salesredefined.com.au. And if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure that you subscribe so that you never miss a future episode. And finally, we would absolutely love it and appreciate it if you could leave us a review and maybe even share with a friend. We'll see you next time.